Welcome to the Kaleidoscope of Possibilities, Alternative Perspectives on Mental Health. My name is Dr. Adriana Popescu. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist and leader in the field of mental health, energy psychology, addiction, trauma, and empowerment. In this podcast, we will be exploring mental health from a variety of perspectives, from the spiritual to the shamanic and beyond. What if mental illness isn't everything we think it is? What if everything we see as a pathology is actually a possibility? What else is possible with mental health? All right. Hi, everyone. Dr. Adriana Popescu here with you today with another episode of Kaleidoscope of Possibilities, Alternative Perspectives on Mental Health. Wookie, my cat, has joined us, but who I'm super excited to have on the show is Alfred Heath. He has been a professional counselor and energy healing practitioner for over 30 years. He studied and practiced multiple healing and energy psychology modalities before settling on BSET-Free-FAST, one of my favorite tools as well, as his energy psychology method of choice, and developing his own intention and life energy-based healing method, Zero Point Intention. Upon retiring in 2015, BSET-Free-FAST's creator, Dr. Larry Nims, who was also a guest on the podcast early on, designated Alfred as BSFF's master trainer, as well as its primary educator and principal representative. Alfred is a retired U.S. Air Force Master Sergeant and recently retired from civilian federal government service. His part-time therapy, coaching, training, and consulting practice and healing ministry is based from his home in Savannah, Georgia. Welcome, Alfred.
Thank you, Adriana. So good to be with you.
Yes, yes, I'm so excited, especially because we're going to be co-facilitating a workshop together in June, which we will definitely talk about. But as always on the show, I like to start with the beginning and tell us about yourself, how you came to embark on this journey and how you discovered this work that you're doing.
Interestingly, I was interested in psychology from an early age. And while I thought I was going to be a musician, my guilty pleasure was reading psychology journals that I thought was frivolous, and joined the Air Force initially to play music. And then I started to get involved in foreign language. Somewhere along the way, probably from my late teens, I started having anomalous experiences, psychic dreams, premonitions, and the like, and was also very interested in hypnosis because, coming from, like many of us, coming from a background where there was mental health issues, physical health issues, alcohol abuse issues in the family, I wanted to learn about how to make sure that I stayed well and how to heal myself from things that bothered me. And the two things kind of converged initially with experiences sort of accelerating and deepening and becoming mystical, and to a point where you mentioned that I retired from the Air Force. While I was in the Air Force as a young staff sergeant, I had some powerful experiences that started to guide me away from that life and into healing, into specifically energy healing, and I would say a universal spirituality that I started to explore. And a lot of the research I did was to confirm things that were happening to me, because as well as there being a lot of trouble in the family, there was a lot of serious, like, psychotic mental health issues. And I wanted to make sure that that wasn't me. And I noticed in myself that I could easily stay grounded in reality at all times and had no difficulty differentiating these experiences from mundane everyday life. And that seemed to be a key feature. A book called Kundalini or Psychosis, by I think it was Lee Sinella, was very important to me and helped me really understand what I was experiencing as life force, as Kundalini, as a transformation that was taking place within my spirit. So exploring this area and starting to surround myself with people who were equally seeking in this area. This was the mid to late 80s, so it was around that whole harmonic convergence period where there was a very big new age kind of movement going on. And one of the things that I found was a lot of the people, while they were having, they had real skills and real gifts, but also could be very ungrounded. I decided to focus on getting an education in psychology to keep me grounded, and so that the work that I did with people was also grounded, and that a lot of the interpersonal sort of neurotic stuff that can happen in these kinds of relationships didn't take place. And that turned into its own profession. I got my master's degree in psychology and started working in mental health centers as an outpatient therapist. I worked in a substance abuse and mental health program, family therapy, worked with kids, worked with groups in adult detention centers and the like. And it got to a point where I felt as though I had gotten so deep into the established mental health system that I was losing what I considered my roots in the spiritual and energy based stuff. And at a certain point, I decided to start to really explore energy psychology, because that seemed to be somewhat of a bridge. I'd already been involved in taking Reiki training, getting my Reiki master certification and studying other therapeutic touch, polarity therapy, quantum touch, and quite a few other modalities. And I felt that I wanted to integrate things so that, you know, there was an integrated way of providing help. Whether or not someone was in tune with these other alternative areas or not, it could be modified. And that's been sort of my goal, is to take everything that I was learning and not just synthesizing it, but also simplifying it so that I wasn't trying to do things from all different disciplines, so that I was doing a thing that was like the silver thread that runs through a lot of the disciplines. And that's always been my intention. And I believe that I've come close to getting to that point. And so I'm comfortable with the way that I'm working with people at this point in my career. So that's where I am now. I've retired from my federal service job, as you mentioned. So once the dust settles in terms of, literally once the dust settles, and the construction is going on in the house we just moved into, and all of our household goods are settled, and my income situation is settled, I want to split my time probably equally between the energy psychology aspect and the energy healing and more spiritual aspects of how I got to be where I am. So that's where I am now.
So, Alfred, for people who are less familiar with energy psychology or energy healing, how would you explain that to someone? Like, what exactly do you mean when you say energy healing or energy psychology?
Right. I would probably throw energy medicine in there too. It's really the natural capacity within every human being, and within animals too, that there is a life force, there's a subtle energy that runs through and beyond us and within us and between us. Oops, sorry. And that this energy has a coherence to it, that our more dense physical forms are either aided or somewhat separated from this natural flow of life force. And when it's restored, there's a natural intelligence to the body to use this coherent energy to bring itself into order, in other words, to heal. Energy psychology works on the basis of applying energy focused techniques to facilitate emotional and psychological and mind body healing.
Yes. And I think it's really important for people to understand that the mind, the body, the heart, the spirit, like none of that is really separate. Right. I mean, and to me, when I think of energy psychology, I think, well, energy is the common thread, right, that runs through all of it. Our thoughts are energy. Our emotions are a form of energy. Even the sensations in our body, that's all energy. And our spirit is an energy. So to use modalities of sort of the more traditional psychology that only focus on mind and emotions, rarely spirit, and mostly not the body. I think we traditionally have done our clients a disservice in not including those other aspects, especially when it comes to trauma. You know, like nowadays the science is there that tells us trauma is not just psychological, it's physiological. So how can we not be using tools that include all of that is where I'm coming from with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what I teach, and this is not directly from Be Set Free Fast, it's just my perspective that I bring to Be Set Free Fast is that looking at the brain as part of the body and the body as part of the energy matrix, the densest part of the energy matrix, and the energy matrix as a manifestation of consciousness. So this manifestation of consciousness is the gateway to all of these things, from the body to the from the brain to the rest of the body to the energy matrix and to that aspect of self where all that stuff emerges from. So that is what I'm subtly pointing to by the ways that I teach what I teach, whether it's Be Set Free Fast or other modalities.
Exactly. And so let's talk a little bit about how you discovered, you know, your work with Be Set Free Fast, how you came across Dr. Larry Nims, and maybe even tell us a little bit about the history of Be Set Free Fast, because originally it came from tapping and there was this like stimulation of acupuncture points on the body. And then Larry moved away from that. So yeah, tell us a little bit more there.
So let me start with Be Set Free Fast, and then I'll insert my entry point, which is after yours, by the way.
Yeah.
So Larry was a clinical psychologist, and he'd been an experienced experimental psychologist, and then he taught the psychology of personality and psychopathology and had his own practice. He, from his own experience of having emotional struggles, he was very dedicated to wanting to help people. And he didn't feel that like what was available was, while helpful, not curative. And he at one point ran across the 5-Minute Phobia Cure, Roger Callahan's book. And being a very religious man, he felt that he didn't know where these energies were coming from. So it was kind of scared him and he put it away, but he kept praying for a better way. And his attention was drawn back to the book a while later. So he tried it and it worked and he liked it. And it was very effective, very efficient. And he ended up going into training with Roger Callahan and came to the same conclusion that Gary Craig did, I think a short time later, that this was all too complex and it required someone to do it like to you. And there are all these different protocols, one for depression, one for trauma, one for phobia, one for anxiety. And so he boiled it down to a universal tapping sequence protocol. This is all meridian tapping, the traditional Chinese medicine energy meridians. And I remember him saying at one point, depending on when you talk to Larry, sometimes his memory is that it was one way or another way. At one point, and what stuck with me is one time he said that it was something within himself that he wanted to treat. And he before he started tapping, he could feel it resolving. And he pondered this and came to the conclusion that, well, something else is at play here. The energy meridians are involved, but obviously they can't be the source if my intention to tap resulted in a resolution. So he surmised that it was actually the subconscious mind that was actually running the show of not just the problems, as we learn from, you know, psychodynamic theory, but also the solution. In this case, the opening up and flow of energy in the body to release emotional hangups, to release post-traumatic stress. And so he decided to create an instruction to the subconscious mind. How he determined that no one needed to go into any kind of trance, I don't know. I don't think I ever asked him. But the instructions are just instructions. You just read them to your own subconscious mind, or someone else reads them to you, and you accept them, and the subconscious mind takes them on board. And these instructions are triggered by the use of a cue word that you assign, that the individual assigns, and the use of that cue word activates the process of eliminating whatever the unresolved emotions and beliefs that are in that subconscious space, whether physiological and or energetic, that are running the show and keeping us having negative experiences or unhelpful behaviors or inhibitions. And it worked very elegantly. And so at the point that I learned Be Set Free Fast from a couple who he taught at, I believe it was Las Vegas Energy Psychology Conference, they're actually Welsh, and I was living in the UK at the time. So a couple of years later, they were providing these trainings, and Larry had given them permission to do the trainings. Both of them were EFT masters, and they're also involved with the TAP-ASS acupressure technique. Well, I was involved somewhat with the EFT, but more with the TAP-ASS acupressure technique. And there was an international conference in Manchester, England, for the TAP-ASS acupressure technique that they were running. And after the conference, they conducted a one-day Be Set Free Fast training. And so I attended that, and this was September 2004. So that was my first introduction to Be Set Free Fast. I found it very intriguing, very interesting. They taught the tapping sequence in the morning, and then they transitioned to the cue word sequence in the afternoon, which is what Larry was doing for a period of time. Well, being EFT masters, they were of the belief that you had to do the tapping in order to install that so that the cue word would work. Well, it turned out that that's not true at all. But I became more comfortable with the tapping and a little bit about the cue word, and found that that discomfort got translated over to clients who ended up not wanting to be set free fast.
You're right.
it wasn't until the Be Set Free Fast DVD that Don Elium produced of Larry doing sessions with I think 8 or 10 people, that I really started to get comfortable. You know, I bought the DVD, really got comfortable. Don Elium reached out to me because I was part of there was like a social media Yahoo group community that was talking about sharing experiences, doing group experiences, and I was very involved with that. But Don had reached out to me to get me to come to the training in Oakland. And this was February 2007. So I maxed out my credit cards, flew from the UK over to Oakland, and went through the training and really never turned back from there. That's really when it was established for me that, well, you know, this is the modality that I really want to do as my primary, and eventually let go of TAT. I'd been a TAT trainer and certified practitioner for some time, but people were coming to me for the BSIT Free Fast and not so much for the TAT. I don't know if that was the energy I was putting out there or not. TAT is a wonderful method, but BSIT Free Fast became my home and preferred method of energy psychology. And then it was about 2012 that Larry approached me to do some co-training with him. He designated a number of us BSIT Free Fast trainers, I believe in 2009 or 10. And then he approached me in 2012 to join him in a training that he was going to be doing in the UK. It turned out we ended up doing it in Belgium. And then ever since then, every training that Larry's done, I've done with him. And in 2015, that transitioned when he retired. And he visits the training. Sometimes he'll spend the whole time, you know, in the training. But overall, I run the trainings and I set up the curricula and all the rest of it. And I've been doing that since then.
Wonderful. Yeah. And what I love that you said that I think is so, for some people, so such a novel concept is that we actually have within us healing capacities, natural healing capacities. I mean, certainly, you know, 5,000 years of traditional Chinese medicine, you know, espouses that same belief that, you know, it's the energetic imbalances and blockages that create dis-ease and discomfort. And then when we remove those energetic blockages, imbalances, whatever it is, the body is capable of healing itself. And I feel that this is the same is true psychologically, that when we, you know, come across these different modalities that allow us to shift these energies, then we begin to heal our psyche, our spirit, all the things as well. And we have that innate capacity. It's the intention. Larry also spoke with me quite a bit about intention because, you know, I wrote my dissertation on BSAT Free Fast, was fortunate enough to have Larry on my committee. And he said, really what it is, it's the intention. You're activating your own healing capacities with the intention of letting something that is creating distress for you, letting it go.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that age-old saying from, was it Hermetic Wisdom? Energy follows intention. Energy follows intention. And it does. It follows the intention. And your subconscious mind is heavily involved in trying to realize intention. And what gets in the way is the stuff that the subconscious mind unfortunately ends up taking on board from significant emotional events and the beliefs that are outgrowths of those events that go unprocessed. So it tries to fulfill our intention, but this stuff ends up becoming a different kind of, you know, we call it programming. And so that gets triggered and activated. So the traditionally, a lot of disciplines consider the subconscious mind the repository of our problems and not the resource for the solutions. You said Free Fast goes right to both of those and says, yeah, it's both. It depends on how you uncover them and then you employ the subconscious mind to resolve them. It's very elegant.
Yes. Larry used to call the subconscious mind our faithful servant, right? That whatever we tell it to do, it will do. And so this is really about activating it, not as a problem, like working with the subconscious, not as the source of the problem, but as the source of the solution. Yes. It is the repository of our unresolved traumas, our dysfunctional beliefs, all the things. And within it, we have the ability to, with just one use of that cue, like flip that energy around or release it or whatever it is. It is so simple and people are kind of blown away. Like when I teach you know, we use Be Set Free Fast as one of the energy psychology tools at the drug and alcohol rehab where I work. And my fellow professionals are often just blown away. Like, how is it possible that just one use of my cue has completely brought me from an 8 out of 10 stress level on something to like a zero? I mean, I literally had that with one of my therapists, and she just could not comprehend how something could be so simple. So I just want to say, you know, a little bit about how we use it. Like, we can use Be Set Free Fast as a standalone kind of tool. And I love giving it to clients. It's one of the first things I do with a new client is show them how to use it, install the cue, and have them work on any and all stressors they experience in between sessions. But also in the sessions, I find that we can use it to do some very deep and profound work, whether that's trauma healing, whether that's working with, you know, core limiting beliefs, any number of different things. And you can integrate it with other modalities. Like, I've taught thought records in CBT group, where, you know, you get someone through the standard process, and then, but their activation is still, I'm still angry at a 4 out of 10. Well, use your cue on that, and suddenly that 4 out of 10 goes down to 0. Or integrating it with any number of other modalities. Like, well, we might use Be Set Free Fast as a precursor to doing brain spotting or like EMDR. These other kinds of trauma treatments that people are scared. A lot of our clients are really scared to go there. I don't want to open up that can of worms. I'm afraid I'm going to get overwhelmed. And something like Be Set Free Fast can be used so nicely to assuage some of those fears and some of the doubts that come up, the stoppers. You know, Larry built in these wonderful techniques to deal with stoppers, the fears and doubts that stop us from taking action, or psychological reversal, you know, through the fail-safe method. So yeah, can you comment a little bit on that? Yeah.
So, I've been a presenter for the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology several times. And in one of the presentations, one of the learning labs, I talked about blending Be Set Free Fast with an NLP modality called Core Transformation. And in Core Transformation is also, it deals with part work, you know, asking the part, what do you want? And then letting the answer emerge from the subconscious mind, and then asking, so when you have this, all you want, what do you want out of having that? It's even more valuable. So it goes to the meta levels, getting to what they call these core states of, you know, unconditional peace or unconditional love or oneness or beingness, profound transcendent states. I found that using the Be Set Free Fast cue could really facilitate that process going a lot more smoothly and quickly, because sometimes those core transformation sessions could take hours to you know, and this would just speed things up. Funny, you mentioned the CBT. I studied rational emotive behavior therapy. Albert Ellis is, you know, like grandfather of CBT stuff, and was working with a client who had been working with this for some time with me and had become proficient at it. And she got to this one thing. It's like, I know the idea of REBT is to debate and dispute the irrational belief that's at the core of what is going on. And she said, I know that belief is just not true. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's got such power. I just can't fight it off. I said, well, they'd already learned Be Set Free Fast. And so I asked them, well, let's see what happens if you use your cue for that belief and see what happens. And she did. And so I said, well, revisit that again and see what you notice. And he's like, that made any sense. Just like that. Yeah. It's so elegant.
And it's so useful. I mean, really, I have used it, you know, because I was first exposed to Be Set Free Fast, I believe in 1999 or 2000 at one of the very first energy psychology conferences. And I ended up extending my stay so I could do Larry's post-conference. I think it was like a 2-day workshop. And I mean, my universe was just blown open, like what you could do with this tool. And have used it for so many things with clients. I mean, everything from depression, anxiety, really intense, like deep trauma work, and processing, but also I use it a lot with my coaching clients. You know, people who might be business owners and they're wanting their business to be more successful, or I've worked with artists who are having creative blocks, or, you know, Olympic athletes trying to improve their performance, people who are trying to, you know, make more money or have a healthier relationship, and they have these subconscious blocks, right? They're, Callahan might have said psychologically reverse, meaning they're not energetically congruent with what they say they want. They want to make $1 million a year, but they've got a subconscious belief that says it's not safe. It's not good to have that. I don't deserve to have that. And those two are in opposition, and no progress can ever be made on the goal. And tools like this allow us to not only identify like what those limiting blocks and beliefs are, but then to, with this powerful tool, to be able to change the energy around that so it is no longer an obstacle. And I love doing that kind of work with folks as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. The people have such an experience with this in general of one step forward and then two steps back and then one step forward and two steps back. And it's that two steps back that where Be Set Free Fest really shines, because it's there's something about or and toward the problem that didn't get addressed. There's some sort of secondary gain or some sort of what Larry has named fail safes, you know, really wanting at a subconscious level to be free, being willing to, giving permission to, feeling that you deserve to, and all these other things, being willing to give up the secondary, you know, the secondary gain. All these things are at play, and when you address them, then the problem itself becomes much, so much more workable.
Yeah. And, you know, we've mentioned parts work a couple of times. I mean, parts work is so big right now in our field, IFS in particular, internal family systems. I find that Be Set Free Fast lends itself so naturally to be used with that. I've done parts work with clients where they have a different cue, like their different parts all have their own cue. An inner child part, for example, might have a different cue than like the adult self might. So you can get really creative. In how, if you're a practitioner, you know, you can get very creative in how you use techniques like this, which is what I love about it, that it's so flexible. And, you know, you mentioned originally Larry had a cue word, but I've kind of evolved with his stamp of approval. A lot of my clients use a cue that's more of a visual thing, or I've had clients do somatic, you know, maybe the hands on the heart or some combination of visual word and somatic, and it's just, there's no rigidity, you know, with Be Set Free Fast. I find that like we really have latitude to explore a wider canvas with this technique.
Absolutely. And it's really, it's a signal. It's a, you know, in its, you know, in and of itself, it's just like giving somebody a wink. In fact, you could use a wink, an image, hear a sound in your head, any, you know, you can make any reference, your cue to the subconscious mind to eliminate those unresolved emotional roots and beliefs. It's wonderful. Also, one of the things that I've been developing more is that collaboration between the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. So that also getting the feedback. I know that Larry primarily uses muscle testing. I use energy checking. That's one way to get an indication that there is a program in there at the subconscious level. But I've also started to work with imagery, and it's been fascinating to get someone to just imagine that they're drawing a circle, a big circle, and the dot in the center is everything that they know consciously about what it is that they're struggling with, but that all the space in between the dot and the circumference is all the subconscious stuff, all whatever programs are causing or even contributing in any way to it. And they'll have them mentally look at the circle, and it turns into like a TV screen. And they get a picture or a scene. And that's indicative in an intuitive way of what the nature, how the problem feels. They'll get the submodalities of color and depth and sound, characters. And then we'll go back and we'll just check in addition to doing the SUDS, the subjective units of distress, when you think about it, I'll have them take another look into the circle across the, you know, along the route of the session and see how it, things transform. And by the end, often it's like they're looking at it's a meadow, or they're looking at it's turned into a star or a sun. Very similar to art therapy kind of stuff with the mandala, but it happens spontaneously and it's all emerging from the subconscious mind. So it's yet another way that we can partner with the subconscious mind and use this powerful method to be set free fast in just the thinking or saying or imaging a cue to let it do its part of the job.
Yeah, it's so simple and just amazing. Like the main complaint I get from my clients is I forget to use it in between sessions. And then I say, okay, you know what? Then it's time to put it on your phone, put like a reminder, use your cue, or if your cue is like if there's an image or something that represents it, or even the word, make it your screensaver, like put up a picture of it, like whatever it is, so you can have those cues to remind you to use your cue.
Yep, absolutely. Also, what Larry says is that, well, you can use your cue for whatever is preventing you from remembering.
From remembering, exactly.
Because that can be a defense too, to actually avoid things like confusion or forgetting or exhaustion. It's been fascinating in a session. I could have someone, all of a sudden they're confused. And I'll say, well, use your cue for the confusion just in case it's in the way. It's a program trying to get in the way of the resolution of the issue. And sure enough, not confused. Or they say, I'm so sleepy, I can't keep my eyes open. We part the way through the session. I'll say, well, use your cue for that. And goes away.
Amazing. Well, tell us a little bit, Alfred, about some of the other work. Beside from Be Set Free Fast, I know you've developed your own methods. You're exploring other areas. Tell us more about that.
Well, sure. Well, I think it's important to give Be Set Free Fast a lot of, you know, Larry and Be Set Free Fast a lot of credit for part of the way these things have evolved. Also, Tapas acupressure technique, Tapas Fleming, the energy psychology modalities that I've learned. They all, like I said, my intention was always to sort of synthesize, and I saw how these things seem to converge at intention. Because even with the energy healing modalities, there's this intention for the healing energy to flow when we lay hands on someone or think about someone. So I started to work with two ideas. One, seeing how energy would follow intention, but also things like remote energy attunement with things like Reiki, that this could happen remotely, and remote energy healing sessions. So, this concept of consciousness being broader than just individual consciousness, that there is consciousness, and then we're points of reference within that greater consciousness. So I was using these ideas to really try to zero in on, well, how is it that healing happens when I think about someone in another part of the country or in another country, that it doesn't travel, it's instantaneous. So this is consciousness awakening energy at one point of reference, like another point, you know, from another point of reference, sort of like the I don't want to call it quantum uncertainty. It's when one subatomic particle and another
quantum entanglement.
Quantum entanglement. Thank you.
Yes.
That when one changes spin, once they've been introduced to each other, when one changes spin anywhere, apparently in the universe, the other one will change simultaneously. There's no travel in between. So I'm thinking this is what's happening here. So I started looking into things that could help me conceptualize. I won't say that they're true, but they've helped me conceptualize, well, how can it be that you go to a place and it feels holy compared to another place? Something someone did something, expected something, had an intention, did a meditation, had contemplation, prayed in this spot. And that energy remained in that state. So all these ideas came together in the idea of time displaced and non-specific target, let's say, for lack of a better word, or non-specific recipient intention for healing. So this idea of remote attunement sort of converged with several other things to where I started experimenting with having an intention that anyone who joined a specific social media platform group with a certain name would have access to a certain number of a certain kind of healing sessions that themselves were based on a previous experience of healing, but it was only a momentary intention that the healing take place. And what transpired is that people would have these full hour-long, hour and a half healing sessions, and they would have the number that I would intend for them to have, and they would stop after that number. And I didn't have to know when they were having them. I'd ask them to report back what their experiences were. I seemed to be intuitively in tune with what was going on, so I could help to bring some insight and understanding and guidance in terms of things that they could do in between the sessions. But that remained the case, that an intention could be for a group of people or for an unspecified procession of people, and it kept on producing results. So this came out of, similar to Larry, I had this crisis moment of a personal crisis with what I was getting involved in. I was working and I had a family to raise and I was dealing with life issues, and I really didn't have the time that I felt was needed to be able to meet with people and do healing work. And in prayer, I said, you know, you got to help me figure this out. I feel like you guided me to do this work, and yet I have these responsibilities that I have to meet. I don't have that kind of time. What do I do? What do I do? And shortly after that, a convergence of different training started presenting itself to me. Quantum touch, be simply fast, and all these other methods, remote, right? And it all sort of mixed around in my head until it came up with this thing where, oh, I can just have one intention, and a indeterminate number of people can benefit from the healing at their own time, in their own space. Really? Okay, let's see if that works. And it did. It did. It still does.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. We're just starting to scratch the surface, I think, of, like, you know, the convergence of science and spirituality. Like, the deeper you get into quantum physics, the more you realize that spirituality and it are intersecting. I mean, it's pretty fascinating stuff. And I love that you're really on the forefront of that in your own exploration, and how so many of us, that's how these modalities come into being, is, you know, we experiment with stuff on ourselves. We try things out with our clients. We see something works. We keep doing it. We explore it some more. Maybe we start offering some training in it. Maybe at some point we do some research on it. But this is how these new modalities that are based on ancient principles come into being. So, I mean, it's so wonderful that you're really at the cutting edge, I think, of this field, mind, body, medicine, energy medicine, energy healing, psychology, whatever we're going to call it. I do think it's the wave of the future.
Yeah, I feel just so blessed to have been in the spaces and to have met the people that I've been able to meet, and to have had these experiences that I was not seeking inform all of what I ended up feeling is a calling. I just feel very blessed. and happy that I'm in a position where I can start to really branch out and share it with more people.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of that, let's talk about some upcoming experiences that people have. If they want to learn more about Be Set Free Fast or maybe your work, if you've got anything lined up, what's on the calendar?
Well, it's a complicated question. I've got a couple of trainings that I'm trying to get off the ground. One is an intermediate level Be Set Free Fast training. It'll be the first iteration of, and one's an advanced training that has been updated. But there's also an introduction to Be Set Free Fast e-course that I've set up. And it has material from the ebook that Larry wrote with Joan Salkin. It's got material from the DVD. It's got a guide that helps people through all that. It also includes my on-demand video, on-demand self-help program. So it takes all of this and it puts it into sort of like this big introduction to Be Set Free Fast with a guide. It's got a self muscle testing tutorial with demonstration videos. And so it gives a much broader general intro to Be Set Free Fast. And that's continually available. It's not live. It's a combination of text and video on demand, streaming videos, and streaming video and video clips from the Be Set Free Fast DVD. So I also do a foundation training for professionals, specifically for people who work with other people. With Be Set Free Fast, the e-course has become a prerequisite for that. So regardless of when you take it, it makes the foundation training available to you because you'll have met that prerequisite. They're probably not going to be having another foundation training for a little bit. Maybe I'd be hard pressed to say when I'll be able to do it this year, but a good friend of mine and I are going to be conducting a one-day post-conference workshop after the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology main conference. Dr. Adriana Popescu will be joining me and will be teaching a one-day workshop, which is an introduction to Be Set Free Fast. So everybody who has not had the foundation training or has not had some sort of intensive introduction should come.
Yes. Yes. This will be June 2024 in what's it called? Litchfield, Arizona, at the Wigwam Resort. Yes. 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 Very much looking forward to that. We'll definitely put a link in the show notes for all of these, for certainly finding the e-course and for our upcoming workshop. And interesting things are happening with the sun here as it moves across the sky. Alfred, it's been such a joy to have you on the show. I am so grateful that you are carrying the torch for Be Set Free Fast. It is such wonderful work, and Larry was such a gift to the world in bringing it to us. And now those of us that, you know, that are trainers and you took the baton, and we want to move it forward. I would love to offer more. I periodically will do, you know, one-off kind of workshops with Be Set Free Fast. I obviously teach it a lot at the rehab, but I'd like to see it in the hands of more people because I feel like this is such a simple tool and yet so very powerful, and would love to see it in the hands of more people, professional and clients alike.
Absolutely. I feel like it does, like it already belongs to everyone because everyone has a subconscious mind. Everyone has intention. And if they only just had that little bit of skillful means, they could do so much for themselves and with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Any final thoughts that you want to leave us with today?
The main final thought is that we all have so much potential. We haven't even gotten close to the potential of consciousness and what we consider an individual conscious self as a point of reference, but the whole of consciousness. We are in the fabric of it, and we are in this relational, profound space where so many things beyond what we can dream are possible. Healing is only the beginning.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Alfred. Thank you all for who tuned in today to watch or listen to this episode. If you have found it helpful, please do share, like, comment, rate, review, all the things that get it out there in the hands of more people. And if you have any ideas about topics or guests you'd like to have on the show, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Would love to have you join us. We have a Facebook group called Kaleidoscope of Possibilities, where we also is another forum where we can take some of these ideas and go a little deeper with them. So check us out there. And thanks again, Alfred. And see you next time on Kaleidoscope of Possibilities.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Kaleidoscope of Possibilities, Alternative Perspectives on Mental Health. This has been Dr. Adriana Popescu. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe and share with others. To find out more about me, my guests, and more, please visit my website at adrianapopescu.org. See you next time!